right, are you guys ready? All right. So if you don't know me, my name is Amber Hudler. I'm the kids minister here, and I want you to meet my husband. If you don't know him, Matt, back here, just so that you know.
And I'm not her husband. I'm Andrew Wade. I'm the student minister here, and this is my wife, Meredith. We are so glad that you're here tonight. The last time we did a class like this, we had about 30 in the room. And so when we put out the registration, we very quickly realized we were going to have to take the wall out. And so we're so glad that you're here tonight. We know that not all of your questions are going to get answered tonight. And so please help us by also knowing that. We can't possibly cover everything in the short time that we're going to be here. The reality as we looked at everything was that probably at some point this will be a 4 or 5 week class that we put out. You should also know that whatever you hear tonight is getting recorded and will go out in podcast format for you to listen to again and have more conversations over. And so in the room tonight, there's probably some of you, and you are still like me, taking care of literal poop from your baby. And others of you in the room, you're still taking care of poop, but it just is a little bit different kind of poop now.
Yes.
And so we all have things to deal with, and we're all in different stages of life. And when it comes to this journey of how to raise kids in a world that's full of technology, just know that your journey may not look like anybody else's journey in the room. And we really want to encourage what's best for your family. And not all of our journeys are going to look the same.
Sure. And so a few housekeeping things before we start out with a question is for notes. Some of you, you saw that you have paper note options. You saw that you could also take a picture of the QR code if you want to do digital notes. If you have the church app or you can get the church app, when you get onto the church app at the bottom, there's a button that says engage. When you hit engage, you'll see the class material where it says you'll see all. It'll look just like this. You can click on that, take notes there too. Like he said, in a few weeks, hopefully a lot sooner than that, but in a few weeks we'll also have this podcast style. So if there's some things that you want to go back and you want to listen to, we'll have that. And just to kind of tag on to a little bit of what he said too, is please keep in mind we're in here for an hour and a half. We're going to be sure to leave room for questions and answers so that we can learn from one another. But we're trying to do a broad stroke here. We're trying to just really hit some hot topics and some big things that maybe might get your mind turning, that maybe you know, oh, hey, I should ask about that, or hey, I never thought about that. Our goal for this class is that you would walk away knowing you are not alone. Look around. You have all of these people here in this room and even some who couldn't make it that are just as interested and invested as you are. How do we make this work? We also hope that you'll walk away knowing there is hope, that technology is not all bad. And technology itself isn't bad, it's how we use it, right? And then we're also hoping that you will walk away with something to apply, something to work with. So with that being said, one of the things that we are learning after we have been reading and even in our own parenting journey, because that's what you need to know, we are parents, right? We're also ministers. We're seeing things in kids ministry. We're seeing things in student ministry. And then we also have the time to do lots of research and reading. And so just know that we're on this journey with you and that we are here to help. We really want to help you. And so the biggest thing that we got to thinking about was how do we structure this class? How do we make it all come together? We began asking the question, why do you think people are here? And really, from the things that we read, from our own journeys, and talking with some of you, is it's typically based around fear, right? It's unfortunately, we're just like, man, I've got a lot of fears. So we want you to take just a few seconds, talk to your neighbor, what is one thing that concerns you or that you're afraid of about technology, and then we'll get a few of you to share with the room. So go ahead and do that.
Go.
It's really okay to chat with your neighbor, make a friend. All right, so let's just take a few minutes. You guys have had a chance to kind of talk with your neighbors, meet a neighbor. Just please remind me throughout the night that this is recording. I just had that wake-up call. So, and talk about technology. So we'd love to hear from the room. Some of you just kind of share either what are some things that, what are some of your fears or concerns?
Porn.
Okay, yeah. Thank you for being honest. Yeah.
Anybody else echo that? That was the conversation you just had.
Yeah.
Okay.
Predators. Okay.
Addiction.
Okay. Yeah.
Cyberbullying.
Yep.
Exposure.
Yes.
What's out there that we don't know about?
Yes. Yes. Anybody else? One more?
Child
predators. The child predators. Yeah, so what you guys are, all of the things that you said are things that we're going to try to hit tonight. We're going to try to cover a lot of that, and though you're not alone. Those are the common things that we hear doctors saying they're concerned about, psychologists that they're concerned about, and parents, okay? So you're not alone in that. But before we get started, Andrew just kind of wanted to kick us off with a verse, and then we'll pray.
Okay. Deuteronomy 6. Starting in verse 4, it says this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. So impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Whatever happens in the next hour together, as we go as disciple makers of our home. And so just know that that's our heart. That's our heart behind all of this. There's real fears. There's real stuff out there we want to protect them from. There's real things we want to prepare them for. But ultimately, you're the disciple makers of your home. You're the ones that God has put in your home for this time to walk through this area with your family. And you can do that. And so I'd love to pray for us, and then we're going to dive into some content together. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the adults, the parents, even the grandparents in the room, who are asking you to lead in this area. And so, God, we just invite you into this time now. This can be a time full of fear, but God, we ask that it would be a time full of hope. This can be a time where Satan has a foothold. And so, in the name of Jesus, together tonight, we just declare that Satan is to have no foothold here. Mm. Not in our lives, not in the lives of our kids or our families. So, God, would you show us how to be disciple makers in this area in our homes. Help it not to seem so foreign to us, but would you give us opportunities to have good dialogues with our kids, to be prepared, and to help prepare them for what's to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So on your notes, if you're following digitally on your notes, we only gave you just a few fill-ins. And then if you'll notice, there's also like little rectangles. You can just tap the rectangle and then you can type in anything that you want to type in there. But your first fill-in-the-blank is just that your ultimate goal is to make disciples. And then Andrew's getting to walk us through this Venn diagram that talks about when we're looking at the big picture, we're looking to strike a balance between protection and preparation. So if you'll share that with
us. On the screens, and a lot of times this conversation is used for lots of things in parenting, but on the protection side, that in this area, that's often looked like no one gets anything. Movies are bad, all of TV is bad, all of social media is bad, and we want to protect you from the bad, and so no one gets anything. On the prepare side of things, a lot of times in this area, that looks like total freedom. This is in the world already, so here, go ahead and take it. And so there's a small sliver in the middle that I really think you can find a lot of hope in your home. And so just as we move and as we voiced fears already, where would you place yourself on the screen? Where is your home right now? And is that where you really want to be? We're really just trying to help everybody think about this prepare versus protect versus prepare, and really protect versus freedom mentality that is seen when it comes to technology. Where are you guys at right now?
Yeah. So when looking at the class, we decided to break it down into three categories because, of course, we're Baptists, right? So we have to do things in threes and like sermon, illustration, note, bottom line. So we're just sticking with it. But our tagline, our first thing that we really want to talk about is protection. The tagline here is that we want to protect from things that you wouldn't willingly let through your front door. And that's kind of the reality of the tech world. There are so many, there's people, there's things, there's ideas that you would never let through the front door of your house, but they are coming through the back door through technology. So how do we do this? And to Andrew's point, sometimes what happens is it feels so overwhelming that we just go numb and we're like, just have it all. I don't know, just let the Lord figure it out, right? And then, but then there's also some of us too that we get so protective that we're like, you can't have anything, we're not doing anything, and the restrictions are, well, here's the deal. Technology's not leaving. It is here. Whether you lock it down in your home and you do nothing, they still come to church with people with phones. They still go to school with people with phones and computers. They're here. So we have to prepare them. There is some protection, and we'll talk about that developmentally, but there's also a preparation that goes, hey, you got to figure out how to regulate this yourself. So starting with protection, one of the things that we felt like would be so good to talk about is ownership. Whose phone is it? Whose iPad is it? Whose screen is it, and why? And one of the things that we plan to send out tomorrow, so I do want you to kind of know that we're gonna be sending notes out and we're gonna reference some things that will all come in an email tomorrow. But one of the things is a family covenant.
On that, if you didn't register, would you register on the iPads on your way out? That way you can get all the content that we're emailing out after the class. We wanna make sure everybody gets that.
They did. If they checked in, it'll be there.
Okay.
So one of them is a family covenant. One of the best things that you can do, and you're going to hear us say this all night long, have conversations early and have conversations often. Not just about technology, but about all the things. Everything comes down to relationship. Of all of the studies, of all of the books that we've read, of our own experience in ministry and our own experience at home, it comes down to relationship. And so one of the ways to do that is through a family covenant. And the family covenant can walk you through, hey, where do we have screens? Where do we not have screens? Why do we have screens? You can walk through and ask all of those questions and walk through it with your kids. Some of you are parents of preschoolers. Some of you are kids. Some are teenagers. And here's the thing I want you to hear me say. There are kids in our kids ministry who have phones. Okay, there are kids in our kids ministry who are on social media, okay? Whether you agree or you don't agree, we're not here to cast stones. What I want you to know is that it is starting earlier than what you know. So we have to do our job to help our kids think through and understand these kinds of things.
And on the flip side, I have students in our student ministry without smartphones.
Right.
So there's both sides of the spectrum taking place again. This is your journey with your family. And back to the ownership conversation. This could be a really big thing down the line. When your student is 14, 15, 16, 17, that conversation can change to whose phone it actually is. But we would really encourage, if you're giving any technology to your child for the first time, hey, let's talk about how this is mom and dad's tablet. And at the end of the day, it's still mom and dad's tablet. Whatever layer you're on, whether that's tablet or phone or Apple Watch or whatever, it's a great way to say, hey, can we get our phone back for a little bit? Just so you can have the dialogue and the reminder of whose stuff it really is right now. And again, when cars are involved and driving's involved, maybe that conversation can change a little bit. The smartphone is not the only option. There's lots of options out there. One of the options that we're talking about for our 7-year-old someday would be the new Apple Watch plan that they released, that your Apple Watch can have its own phone LTE connection, and the Apple Watch itself can make a phone call and receive a phone call, and that's really about it. And so there's lots of other options there besides your sixth grade, here's a smartphone. Now, I know that there's a lot of social pressure involved in that, and we're all navigating those social pressures, but just to conform to what culture's doing. Parents, we're not called to that. And that goes across the board. That goes towards what movies are rated PG-13, and now you have a 13-year-old. Just because the movie rating says it's okay, you know what? I don't know that it's okay yet. That goes across the board for movies, for TVs, for all of digital media. And so I really encourage you, don't just go with what culture says is okay. Be the ones who are guarding that. This goes for age of 13. If you're 13, according to the world, Facebook, your Facebook ready, your Instagram ready. Most of social media puts out that they are okay at 13 to get on those things. Before 13, no. But once 13 happens, let's go. And so, again, you're the regulators of that. And if it is those ages, if it is those times, that's great, as long as you guys are talking about it and leading your family through that.
Well, and I also feel like that one of the things that can be really tough about this particular subject is there's a lot of judgment that we cast between ourselves and our peers, right? I can't believe that so-and-so is letting their kid do this, and I can't believe that so-and-so is letting their kid do that, and why am I looking like the villain? Here's the deal. God made you, your parents, your child's parent, you, nobody else. This is about your child. This is not about a certain age. It's not even about maturity. It's about you knowing your kid. And so for some people, there are things out there like Gab Wireless and some other things that allow you to only do phone and texting. And some people go, hey, I need my 10-year-old or my 8-year-old or whatever to have a phone. That's their business. Okay? And we're not here to cast stones. We're not here to say, oh my gosh, that's biblically incorrect or whatever that is. Show grace. We're all figuring it out. And if you haven't figured this out yet or not, nobody's leaving technology unscathed, okay? At some point, you're going to get a bump or a bruise. Something's going to happen. It's just going to. Our job is to make disciples that we're prepping them. When that happens, how do we respond? When that's going on, what do I do? That's our job. We have to prep our kids. So please keep in mind, too, that everyone's doing what they think is best for their kid. So even when it comes to ownership, I think this is a great spot, too, to talk about. If you don't know this, we won't walk through it as a class, but some of us can hang around. I'm sure there's plenty of parents. On iPhone, on family sharing, there's a way to go in. You can put your kid's age, and you can lock down apps. You can lock down times. You can do all the things. They have to request permission for apps. They have to do all that. Droid has the same thing. Droid recently came out with an app where you can actually screen mirror your kid's phone. And here's the deal. We're not looking to helicopter because we're afraid. We are looking to help our kids learn boundaries so that as adults, boundaries don't scare them, and they recognize why they have boundaries and why they need them. So when it comes to ownership, that's the other thing. We're trying to teach them healthy skills of owning a device and not letting the device own them.
Yeah, you would never take your 4-year-old and drop them off at the playground and say, I'll see you in a few hours.
Right.
That would never happen. That's what we're seeing happen time and time again when it comes to the internet. And so we're saying be involved. We don't have a walkthrough pamphlet on controls because it depends on what phone you have and what device you're using, and all of that's already out there that you can access. Are you accessing it? That's our question.
Right.
In the beginning, as we start a conversation of pornography, sexting, grooming, cyberbullying, all of those fears that were brought up, it's important in the beginning of having devices that those conversations are brought up. Mm-hmm. Maybe not, for instance, my 7-year-old knows that if he ever sees anything that's scary, he can come talk to me about it because I don't want him to be scared. If he ever sees anybody's private parts, he should come let us know that because private parts are private. And if someone's private parts are out there, we need to make sure that they know. You can have these conversations early. I don't know how I worded it.
Well, but
I probably didn't word it that way.
That's great. That's great. Well, and even for kids, so I do want to take a moment to jump in here, too. Even for kids, a lot of times, their signs are a little different. They're sometimes, they're just like, their stomachs can get upset, or they're like something doesn't feel right. And you're like, hey, if you just kind of get that weird feeling when you see something or something just doesn't feel right, yeah, or your stomach starts flopping, come talk to mom and dad about it, you know? And this is also a great time that as you're getting involved in technology with your kids, and some of this, we're trying to keep it as organized as possible, but sometimes it just hits, right? Spirit moves. But anyway, so sometimes though, like when you're texting your kids, it shouldn't just be pick you up at the ball field, I'll get you here, I'll get you there. Use it as a way to engage, send them encouragement, send them things. Help them to also see, hey, I saw something really cool online, screenshot it, send it to the family text. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, that's one way they can see anything can be screenshotted and sent. And that's also another great way to open up the conversation about, hey, no matter what you say or what you do, I don't care if anybody tells you that it's gone forever, it's not. And anybody can screenshot it in a heartbeat and send it off. I mean, it was, even last night as we were sitting around the table and I told my kids, you're welcome for being minister's kids. You're gonna help me prep for this class. I've got questions. And so even as we were talking to them, we were asking them, how old do you think you should be to have a phone? And how old do you think you should be to social media? And it was really interesting to hear all, because we have a almost 18-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 12-year-old. And our youngest has a lot of spunk anyway, and he just kind of says exactly what he's thinking. And so he's sitting there, and he's eating, and he goes, I mean, I think at least ninth grade, you don't need to be giving anybody a phone, because we thought for sure he's sixth grade, he's going to advocate, right? And he was just like, because I'm telling you, I already know people at school who they've taken pictures of the no-no square and that got sent around. And you're going, oh my gosh, this is like sixth grade, right? But at the same time, we're like going, control your face. I mean, and he just goes back to eating. I mean, you know, he's like, I'm, you know. And so the whole idea here is even as Andrew and I were talking about, what are other examples in life? It's like our 15-year-old, right? He just got his restrictors, but how did he get there? Well, one, he watched mom and dad model driving for years. And don't worry, it was model driving, okay? And so he's watched us model how to drive, right? Then he took a class. Then he had to take a test. And then we gave him the keys, and now we're riding with him as he's learning how to drive, and eventually he will get keys to go out on his own, and he's still gonna learn some things as he's learning to drive. It should be the same way with technology. Whenever you decide to put something in your kid's hand, don't just open it up to the whole free world. It should come in steps. We're training them in technology the same way you would train in a sport, the same way you train to drive, the same way we're training them in the gospel.
Yeah, and they're digital natives. Maybe that's a new term for you, but this generation has always had technology. Probably most of us in the room were digital immigrants. There was a time in our life without technology like we have it now. The idea of having a full-blown computer in your pocket was crazy. But that's what we all have. We all have a full-blown computer in our pocket. And so because of that reality, because that we're digital immigrants, we think of our social life online separately. We have a social life in person and on our phone, and we have a social life online. And when you talk to a Gen Zer or below, that's crazy talk. They don't have separate social lives. Their social life is all in one. And so we have to begin thinking that way. It's not just that you have friends that come over to our house sometimes. It's that you have friends and some of them come over to our house sometime, and some of them you game with on the weekends, and some of them you're on social media with. And so we as an older generation, and I include myself in that.
About time.
have to begin thinking of social media and online platforms that way. They're not this separate thing in your child's life. The idea of a friend is all-encompassing, not just person to person, this is someone who can come over to the house.
Well, and for them, this is like the walk through the school cafeteria that we used to make. You know, you take a walk through the school cafeteria and you can kind of see, okay, I know them, they're gonna be the sports jocks, okay, I know them, and you're kind of, they're kind of taking poll of what's happening, what's in, what's exciting, what's not. And for some of you, and I will age myself here, I'm sure, but I can even remember, I have two older brothers that like Air Jordans was like our thing, man. That was like the cool thing, right? Or leather jackets or whatever that was. That was like, that was our status symbol. That's a lot of what this is for kids. And I'm not trying to say, oh, you know, trying to make you feel bad. Just understand their perspective. Understand like what this is like for them. And I know even for Matt and I, with one of our kids, he is just a little bit quieter and he is just a little bit more we had to look for ways to say yes to him. We had to find some ways because it was like, hey, he's already a little bit more quiet, always maybe just a little bit more awkward when he was a little bit younger. And so then when he was showing up and people were talking about all of the things, and then it ostracized him even more. And then we were a little bit more conservative on movies and stuff like that. He just felt like he didn't have anything to talk about with anybody. So Matt and I got to brainstorming where are places that we can say yes to him. Okay, and so we did. We went to the Xbox and we thought, okay, now let's look at the Xbox and we got to put all the controls on. Let's have some conversations about what this looks like. You are not friends with somebody that you don't already know in person. If you don't know them, they're not your friend online.
Which is okay? a great thing across the board.
Yeah.
If you've never met a person, you're not their friend. And that includes online. That includes, everything has a DM platform.
Tell them, what is DM?
DM is direct message. Everything now has a DM platform. So your kid is playing chess on your tablet online. Anyone can message them that's on that game. We need to be aware of that. We need to have active conversations about that. Just like we would have active conversations about stranger danger when they're little, we've got to have active conversations about stranger danger online. Hey, if somebody talks to you and you don't know them in real life, Mom, it should be the same response as if you're at the park and somebody talks to you and you don't know them in real life. And we're afraid to have that conversation, or we're afraid to say, here's how to respond during that conversation. But everything has a DM platform that is connected to the internet, and we need to be aware of that. A lot of the grooming that's taking place now is happening on gaming platforms and on what a lot of parents think are safe games that are being played, because the patrolling is happening on social media and the patrolling is happening in other forms. But you know, we saw on Instagram the other day, Roblox is very popular right now. It's just a game, but there's DM platforms and you're able to message other people online. And there's a lot of deception that can take place there. So be aware of that. Coming back to us being digital immigrants and our kids being digital natives, so that when we don't connect with them, we feel like we just don't get the Xbox. They feel like we're choosing not to connect with them in their life. And so I think that's really important to think about. It's really important to go, you know, my son spends like 3 hours on Xbox. Do I even know how to play that game? When was the last time you, like, and I guarantee they will love it. You walk in and go, hey, teach me how to play. You know, stroll in with a new controller and go, you want the new controller? I better learn how to play the game. And use it as a bonding time. Maybe you don't get it. Maybe you don't like it. But they're not perceiving you as someone who's interested in the game. They're perceiving you as someone who's interested in them.
Yeah.
And that goes for every platform. And so really, again, it's super easy for us to remove digital things from our everyday life because we've known both sides. They only know it being all together. And so it really is a great opportunity for you to connect with your kid when you buy into that reality.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that I was reading, and I found this really interesting when we were kind of sitting in our offices talking to several students, but one of the things that I read was it was also talking about how digital natives sense like something going on with their parents, the digital immigrants. They can't figure out what it is. Why are mom and dad so hesitant about technology? It doesn't make sense to them because technology has always been part of their life. So they don't get it. But what we are doing, what we're going, man, I remember life without technology. I remember when I was riding streets, you know, until the lights came on and I had to go for dinner. I remember when nobody could track my location. Hey, I remember when I wasn't always looking at a screen, and we're lamenting that. We're kind of sad. They're not sad. They're digital natives. They don't know anything different, and they won't really know anything different, right? And so it's also just trying to help with that mindset. And so what was so interesting was, as we were polling a few of the students, when we were asking them, we're like, what is one thing that you really wish that, or you think we should say to parents? And they just said, we really wish that your first reaction wouldn't be, it's all bad. Because for them, this is their social world. You know, they might look like they're being antisocial on their iPads or their iPhones or whatever the screen is, but that is their playground. That is their social world. That is what they're talking about. And so that is one of the things we hope that you see, is it's not, technology is not bad. What you do with it is what makes it good or bad. And so just trying to engage in that world and helping understand that, like he said, that all of that is part of their world. So hold on just a second. One of the things too that I wanted before we forget is the other thing too about apps, and this is something that we've learned even in our house, is that free apps come with ads. And ads are not always nice. So just kind of keep in mind that when you're doing an ad, it might just be better to pay the $1, $2, $3, whatever it is that you need to do, so that you don't have to worry about what some of those ads are. As we're talking about gaming and cyberbullying and grooming and all of that, that was just something I wanted to be sure we covered.
My question to you would be, are you using their platforms in a way to connect with them? And if they're on Instagram and you're on Instagram and you think they don't know what you do on Instagram, you're mistaken. They know exactly what you're doing online. And so if the only thing that you ever post about is how great your team is, your kid's gonna see that. Use it as an opportunity to lift them up. Same with texting. If the only time you text them is when you need them to be somewhere and when you need them to do something, it's a huge missed opportunity. When was the last time you texted your kid and said, hey, I want to let you know I'm praying for you today as you head to school? When was the last time you used those platforms in a really, really positive way to connect with them? Again, this is not some separate thing for them. Technology and their world are all encompassing. And so it really can go far for you to be an active member in a positive way on whatever platform they're engaged on.
Well, and even having those conversations. So in our house, we did make the decision to wait for our kids to be 16. Well, we've got three, but we only one. And we did wait until she was 16. That was our choice. And as she got on social media, it was also time where we could have the conversations to say things like, hey, just because it's what somebody's posting doesn't mean that's what's real. And just because somebody says they're someone doesn't mean that they actually are someone. And hey, I really want you to think about this. Why do you post? And that's something that we're going to add in the email tomorrow too, is questions that really should kind of go through our minds before we're posting. Why? Why does it matter that there's a picture of you and your friends somewhere? And hey, could that hurt someone else's feelings? Or could that make somebody else feel left out? I mean, there was even something when I was talking with my daughter and she goes, Mom, I tried to text a few of my friends and nobody answered. And she said, then I looked at their location on the social media app, you know, whatever. I'm like, oh, I'm rolling my eyes. And so, and she was like, and they all got together and they went swimming and like, and I wasn't invited. And I was like, you don't even like swimming. And she was like, I know, right? I know I don't like swimming. You're right, I don't. And I was like, so why does it matter? I said, that's one of the problems with your generation, is that like when we were growing up, we didn't know when people were having sleepovers with two or three people, or it was really rare if we did, or if somebody was going to the park. But now everything's so publicized and you guys see each other's locations that it does feel exclusive. But you got to check yourself too and go, it is okay. It doesn't have to be 40 people every time you go somewhere. It's okay to have smaller groups of friends. Nobody's mad. Nobody's trying to be cliquish. That's life. I mean, you're going to be doing life with lots of people, but then there's also going to be people that you're closer to, and who cares? But having those kinds of conversations, or even when we were talking last night as a family, I said, hey, I have a friend from the coast who, like, she recently was just posting about this incredible marriage that she's had to her husband for 10 years, and how all these wonderful things about him, I mean, that, you know, they're gorgeous, you know, and you're just like, oh, I could feel so bad. But what I know is that she's been cheating on him for months. She didn't post that in the post. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you have to have those kinds of hard conversations for your kids to go, this is real. So those are just kind of some things to really be processing as your kids are looking at apps, as they're looking at social media, as they're doing things. We're giving them skills so that they think for themselves.
Yeah, and another area that I think there can be some fear with really is secrecy, and an area that you can protect. And so in light of that, again, DMs are on every platform, and you need to be aware of that, and you need to check in on that. And it's really, especially with older students, it's the times when you go, hey, can I see your phone? And they go, sure, let me go get it. I'll be back in a few minutes. And you're like, okay, it doesn't take you 15 minutes to walk to your room and get your phone and bring it to me. Again, some of that comes back down to ownership and how you all are handling that in your home. But the moment there's hesitation, there's probably some secrecy taking place. We didn't print out a whole list of things that are out there. I'm going to tell you a few of them, but they change all the time. One of the really popular ones right now is an app called Fake Calculator. And you can open your app store and you can download Fake Calculator so you know what it looks like. But if you have an iPhone, it looks exactly like the real calculator that's already on your iPhone. And it operates exactly like the real calculator that's already on your iPhone until you hit the proper number sequence. And then it opens a hidden folder that pictures can be stored, that videos can be stored, that content can be stored. That's a very popular one right now. An easy way to tell if it's on the phone would just be looking through the apps that have been downloaded. So you can go to your app store and look at what's on your phone, and it does say Fake Calculator as the title. So that's out there. Yeah, that's no fun. But you need to know that it's out there.
But that's also where, like, when you have parent controls through the Droid or through the Apple or through the iPad and all that, that's where, like, if you're going in and you're set, because you can set ratings for, like, what age level, you can set ratings for a lot of those things.
Right.
And you could also say that your kid is required to ask for an app every time.
Right.
So you're also going to be seeing that. So that's the other place that kind of helps with secrecy, is kind of having some of those in line.
Yeah. At least when everything first started, dating apps were for college-aged and adults. And if you do a quick Google search on teenage dating apps, you'll get a wonderful list of the popular teenage dating apps that are out there right now. And so you need to be aware of those, that's a new segment of apps and social interaction right now is teenage dating apps. Crush Zone, MyLOL, and Yubo are the popular ones right now. You should also know that on Snapchat and on House Party, live locations are being shared. Okay, and so if those are apps that are familiar with you, you should be aware that live locations are being shared. So what that means is, if I'm over at a friend's house and one of them has House Party, we can get on and see who else is over at other friends' houses in our neighborhood. That's how live it is. So if all the guys are over here and all the girls are over here and we wanted to know that, we could know that immediately. That's on Snapchat and on House Party.
What I do know on Snapchat that you can turn off or on that feature too, whether or not you want that to see. And I thought this was interesting because Snapchat is the one that's gotten like the worst rap, because it's like, hey, you can take a picture and then it's gone. You're like, yeah, it ain't ever gone. But I thought it was really interesting last night that even our daughter was saying, because that was a social media platform that she asked to be able to do, and we feel comfortable with her doing that. I'm not saying that she can't make wrong choices, but she's almost 18 and we got to figure this out, right? Because I'm going to pause here for just a second about the Snapchat, because here's the other thing. I've also had conversations with kids who've gone off to college who parents have been so protective that it is a train wreck when they get to college. Then they are opening up all of these like social accounts and doing all of these things, and they are just, you know,
off the deep end.
Off the deep end. And so that's why we have to train. That's why we're making disciples. That's why we're trying to train them to think. And so anyways, even with my daughter with Snapchat, as we were kind of talking about it, and she was like, well, for me, like, I'm not friends with people that I don't know. And she said, now I know everyone's going to say how terrible Snapchat is, but here's my plug. You can always tell if somebody is screen recording. It alerts you. She goes, you can always tell if somebody has taken a screenshot of it. And she was saying that there's a way that when you're asking for friends, there's a safety net there too. I'm not standing up for Snapchat. I'm just saying, I thought it was really interesting just even hearing her perspective that she's like, I haven't seen that on Instagram. I haven't seen that in some of these other places. So for her, she's like, I kind of liked that. And I thought this was really kind of funny because we have kind of been labeled those parents. They're always like, you guys are the worst of all of our church friends. You guys are like the, well, guess what? I'm not parenting all your church friends' kids, okay? I'm parenting you. You're welcome. You know, but one of the things that I thought was so interesting was when Addison did get social media, she goes, oh my gosh, this is where everybody's been. You know, she was like, I've been trying to text. People don't want to text. I try to FaceTime. Nobody wants to FaceTime because all of those things are in Snapchat and that's what they're doing. And so, and there were times where she's like, you better do this with the boys too. She goes, I go to parties and it's like everybody's together and everybody's on their phones. And I'm sitting there like, anybody want to have a conversation? Anybody want to talk? And there have been times where she said, can you just come pick me up? I'm okay with it. I don't care. I mean, you know, but and you guys make different choices, and that's fine. Like, yeah. I'm not casting a stone. I'm not standing before a holy God going to be accountable for your kid. I'm going to be accountable for mine, you know, because that God made me her parent, and what might be best for her or her sons may not be what's best for yours. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So there's just lots of grace in that. So with the secrecy, the other thing that my son was like, I really wish that he didn't say it in these words. This is how I read it in one of the books. It said, hey, they're innocent until proven guilty, too. Like, we can't just come at them like, because that's how I feel. I feel like I'm going, oh my gosh, I know they're hiding stuff from me. They probably downloaded all this stuff and they're hiding all these things. Because I'm scared, to your point. I'm saying, what are they doing that I don't know about? And my son was like, I really wish you had a little more faith in me. You know, I really wish that you wouldn't just assume that like I'm doing all of the wrong things.
Again, this is about building disciples in your home that are ready to go out into a world. And so one of the questions that I ask our students here at First Baptist all the time, is there a ministry no one's thought of yet that you could think of? I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and he has a middle school son. And every day after school, the middle school son gets on in games with four other guys. Every day, you can count it as clockwork. Three of the guys they've met. One guy lives in a completely different state, and every day after school, these four guys hang out online. And through conversations with dad and through encouragement, they start talking about church, and they start talking about their walk with Jesus with a whole bunch of other people online, because every day these four guys get together. And since they've started doing that, three other people have accepted Christ because they're talking about their walk with Jesus during a game. How can we disciple in this tech world? Yeah. How can we encourage our kids? Hey, maybe there's a ministry nobody's thought of yet. Mm-hmm. And maybe that is on an Xbox, or maybe that is in Snapchat, or maybe that is on whatever they're into. Again, we've got to change the conversation to this is your thing. And now it's, hey, I care about you and I care that you're a disciple. And so how are you being a disciple here? It's real easy for us to encourage them to be a disciple in the classroom. And again, we're separating social media from real day-to-day life, and they don't do that. And so not only do we want to encourage being a disciple in the classroom, we want to encourage being a disciple online. And it starts with how we set the example of that. Mm-hmm. And so that's my question to all of us in the room. How are we being a disciple online? What are your kids seeing you post? What are your kids seeing you share that show that you're a follower of Jesus? Because I think, I know at least for me in my research, I got some things I got to work on in this whole tech conversation.
Oh, yeah. Well, even the authenticity, too. You know, your kids smell that from a mile away. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're posting all this positive stuff over here online, Mom, but, like, all this stuff just went down. Like, you posted 30 seconds of the great, you know, time that we had, but you forgot to mention the other 4 days of heck, right, that we went through. So
as far as the secrecy, and then we'll move on. It really is helpful when you're having these early conversations, and maybe you're here and you're like, I got a 17-year-old. We're not having early conversations anymore. I get that. But if you're able to have these early conversations and they include an out, so that when something gets navigated to a page they realize they're not supposed to be on, or when they're at a party and somebody pulls out the beer, they're able to use the technology to get a hold of you and say, this is what's going on. One of the best things I've heard of that we plan on implementing is the capital X. If at any time you text me a capital X, I will call you and let you know I'm coming to pick you up right now.
Yeah.
That something has happened, not in your control, but if you realize you're somewhere that you don't want to be there anymore, just text me a capital X. Mm-hmm. And I will call you and say, hey, something happened with grandma, gotta come get you. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then you're at the party that you didn't know things were going to be at, and you got to be like, I'm sorry, my grandma. I got to go.
Yeah.
And have we given them outs online for those things as well? Those pressures are everywhere. Those things that we don't count on being there are everywhere. How are we giving them outs to come to us and say, hey, I need out of this?
Yeah.
Without it being, well, you shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Yes.
Help disciple them.
Right. And that's something we've done too. Like we have a code word that they can either say online or they can text. And we recently were talking about the emoji and just saying, blame us. We don't care. You know, I don't care if I have friends or not. It's fine. But anyway, so moving into this next section, talking about brains. I know this sounds funny, but this is actually probably for me, like my biggest like soapbox in our house. And the one that hits the most home for me because it just wears me out, especially being in kids ministry and just in life in general. I want my kids to have people skills. We need to raise kids to be responsible, reasoning, interacting adults with people skills. That's the goal. And so in our house, there's always these conversations where they're like, oh, here we go. But it's regulating things, right? Like we are teaching them what to do with their emotions. And so one of the things is, hey, it's okay to be bored. Figure it out. I don't know. Go make something with sticks. I'm not sure. But it can't always be a screen. The screen is not always the answer. And so when I started kind of preaching this a little bit at home, Holy Spirit started working on me. And so I was like standing in line like at Walgreens for prescriptions, and I was on my phone, and I just really felt the Holy Spirit was like, put it away. You afraid of being bored? You know? But boredom creates empathy. And so if we aren't allowing our kids to experience boredom, they're not having that time to be empathetic, to be thinking of others, to let their brains work in a different way. Because if it's always about screens, whether TV or iPads or phones, whatever, like they have to be able to exercise the other part of their brain. Like, great, you have this part in technology, wonderfully. What do you do with boredom? What do you do when you're angry? What do you do when you're in self-deprecation mode? Is it always a screen? That's not bad. Like, that is an option, but it shouldn't be the only option, right? You still have to figure it out. And one of the things, it's like even going on overnight trips or like when we went to camp as kids, you know what? We had to figure it out when we were homesick. You had to be brave enough. You had to be like, oh man, it is so bad. I have to go tell a counselor and have a conversation. Your mom and dad would come get you. You know, you didn't get to use the phone. Or if you did, you had to do the walk of shame. You figured it out. You're like, I'm homesick. So now I got to figure out, I got to make a friend, or I got to go to this activity. Or I got to figure, because there is no Calvary over here. I have to figure it out, right? Or you're in a conflict. And all of a sudden it's like, you want to go and you want to like, quick text a friend or text parent in a conflict. Not that that can't be good, like, hey, help me out, what should I say or whatever. But sometimes they get so dependent on that, they can't think for themselves. You know, and it's like, well, did you go talk to an adult?
No.
Did you go talk to the person you have the conflict with?
No.
Is your brain dumb? I mean, I didn't say that, but, you know, anyway, but just thinking about, like, those are the things that, and also, and I'm going to say something that's probably a little unpopular, and it's really okay, I'm fine with it. But one of the things for me that Matt and I were talking about that I said, you know, there's some things that really frustrate me about some of the apps that are super helpful, but I also am wondering if we're kind of dumbing something down for our kids. I was like, for instance, and listen, please, like, there's a million ways to do this, okay? But I was like, Life 360. I was like, seriously? Like, I'm going to watch, like, my kids, how fast they're driving, where they're driving, where they're at, all the things, and they know it. I was like, how many times do you remember being on the wrong side of town and all of a sudden, like, you know, Grandpa Joe or something saw you, called your parents and said, did you know she's over here? Or like one of my brothers when they were out past curfew and they got a ticket, you know, and another brother actually had a wreck. I didn't have a wreck growing up, just saying, knock on wood. But all I'm saying is that, like, there's natural consequences, and we're, in some ways, we are taking from them that, like, gut-wrenching crap. How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to work my way around? What am I going to say? How am I? They're not having to do it because you already know. You know, and they already, I'm going to walk in, she'll be like, why were you going 55 and a 25? And why were you blah, blah, blah? Or even Power School. It's a great tool. Power School is a great tool. It's efficient. But I mean, Matt and I were laughing about, we were just laughing about, like, don't you remember like when you made a bad grade and like you had 6 weeks and you're like, how am I gonna tell my mom that I failed that, you know, and or how am I gonna confiscate the report card and change that little F to an A? But now they don't even have to think about it. They're like, mom, dad, I already know, and they already texting me. I see the F, you know, or I'm walking in the door and they already know. And so I'm not saying, again, just let's think about what we're thinking about. Let's think about the things that we're doing and how we're helping our kids. Because the other thing is, we also want them to own their decisions. I want you to be confident. When you're going off to college, when you're leaving our nest, I want you to know you have what you need. You can make the decisions. You can own the decisions, you know. So just kind of some food for thought as we think about, like, brains and what are we doing with our emotions? What are we, how are we gaining confidence? What are we doing with boredom? And sometimes the screen is the answer. It just shouldn't be the answer all the time.
Yeah, listen, we get it.
Oh, yeah.
We get it. We get that you had a really long day at work and everybody's going crazy and you came home and the kids are crazy and here.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this for a little bit.
Yep.
But again, it comes down to you all talking about what that looks like in your family.
Yeah.
And it's okay to talk about that again. And it's okay to talk about that again. And it's okay to regroup on that later, as long as you're continuing to have a dialogue about it. Another big concern when it comes to brains is mental health. And this is a huge area, and we're going to hit a few things. And the first one really is addiction. And some of you concern that you voice that as your a concern on being here tonight. The addiction's real. I see it all the time. And so there's lots of ways to be on the lookout for that. And for some of us, maybe this is like a totally foreign idea that like this thing that's in my pocket I could be addicted to. It's not foreign to this generation. They have seen friends get addicted to their phones. They've seen parents get addicted to their phones. And so this is another one of the areas that we can lead the way in setting the example. And maybe even tonight, this is the topic of conversation on the way home. How much screen time are we on? And how much screen time are our kids on? On iPhones, it's super easy to look up screen time. And it's even easier to look it up and go, okay, what time of day is this taking place?
Mm-hmm.
The parents that I've met with and counseled with whose kids have been addicted to their phones, most of that screen time is taking place between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. And so in the room tonight, we should know that. And if I think that the location that the phone goes to bed at is important. And I think that we, again, can set the example in this. And that's the hard part, is that time and time again, I have conversations with parents and say, hey, let's have a charging dock as a family. That would be a really good step to help your student get out of this addiction, would be that at 10 o'clock at night, everybody's phone gets plugged in on the kitchen counter at the charging dock. And it's not a big deal for a little while, but the ones that fail first at that usually are parents. And so again, this goes back to leading the way in helping our kids.
And I would even encourage, even at a minimum, if you're like, hey, we're not going to do that, the other thing I would encourage you is to shut the phone down, but by a certain time frame, like shut the screen time off from 10 p.m.
Right.
until
There's
7 a.m.
There's all kinds of layers of controls that can be helpful in this. Again, Gen Z wants to have a real conversation about truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we are seeing them respond more than anything else, is having a real conversation about truth. Hey, I looked on your screen time last week and it said that your average was 6.5 hours a day on your phone. I'd really love to talk with you about that and what we can do to help you with that, which, by the way, that's not unheard of. It's often higher than that. Okay. Hey, because there's all kinds of stuff that happens in your brain when you're staring at a screen that long. There's all kinds of problems that happen in your sleep when you've stared at a bright screen in a dark room the 2 hours leading up to trying to go to sleep.
Mm.
Oftentimes parents will come and say, my kid is anxious and they're tired all the time. And we'll start with, okay, how much are they on their phone and what time of day? And you'd be amazed, not including medication, not including counseling, just saying, hey, let's put the phones away at 9:30 or 10, and let's see what improves over the course of the next 3 weeks. And so the addiction to this thing is very real. Again, saying, hey, can I have your phone? Will answer a lot of questions that we have. Because if it's hard for them to give it to you, something's going on it that they don't want you to know about, or they have to have it with them. I can't tell you the amount of teenagers that I talk to that sleep with their phone. I don't mean it's plugged in on the nightstand. I mean they sleep with their phone. Mm-hmm. It is with them all of the time, and they can touch it if they need to touch it. That's how close it needs to be. And so it's a very real thing. The easiest thing to help them is not, you don't get it anymore. You're going to see all kinds of patterns happen when that happens. But I would encourage you having a real conversation about screen time and setting some boundaries. Again, the covenant we're going to send you is a great opportunity to start that conversation. But it falls on us to lead the way in that and to lead what's right for our home in that.
Another thing, I was just thinking about this. We don't use this. We haven't used this in our home, but I know people who have, and hopefully in Q&A, you guys can learn some things from each other too. But I do know that Circle is a thing that Disney put out that you can plug in all your devices to. And so you can kind of, you can shut things off, turn them on. You can do all kinds of things, and that covers all of the devices. And one of the things, as I was reading about it, that one of the authors of the book that I was reading said, he also said, not just watching for when is screen time like the most prominent, but when are major downloads happening. That's the other thing to watch for. Like if you're like going, hey, this is really weird. Like there's like this big download, because those are things that you can see in Circle. There is this like hefty download at like 2 a.m. What was that? You know, or hey, there was this big download, you know, whatever that is. Sometimes you can see that kind of stuff too. So that can also allow you to kind of trigger to some other things that are happening. But and it just comes back to talking to your kids often, talking to them early, and even now. Don't ask them questions about technology. Ask them open-ended questions about life. Hey, what's really popular right now with your friends? Hey, what's the thing that everybody's talking about? Because again, remember, for them, the worlds aren't separated. Things will come out as you're talking to them about kind of what's going on and what are the things. And so just kind of keep that in mind when you're asking those questions. There was something else that came up in this class as we were prepping for the class that, you know, someone had asked, hey, you know, I came from a generation that was like, hey, you do it because that's what I told you. You know, and there is a level of that as parents where it's like, I am your parent. I told you, you better move, right? And so there is some of that. And a lot of us grew up in that generation. I told you so. We also grew up in the generation that when it comes to biblical beliefs, it's because the Bible says so. But remember, you are raising digital natives. They know the answers to all the things. And if they don't, they Google the answer to all the things. So with that is a little bit of a different mindset where they're kind of going, well, why? Well, I need to understand. Well, some of that, guess what? You're the parent, and you can go, I'll tell you why. But we will say that even as we're learning about sharing the gospel with kids and students, is that when we're explaining things to them, and some they might go, well, that still don't make sense. Well, okay. But you know, you got the answer, whether you like it or not. It's just talking to your kids. Hey, and I'm even noticing, opening up my own fears, you know, saying to my kids, I am really concerned that you guys are going to see things that you can't unsee. You know, I'm really concerned, you're like, as they get older, but having those honest conversations and helping them understand the reason I'm taking your phone is not just because I'm scared or because I'm going to be a parent, but hey, blue light is a real thing. Addiction is a real thing. And XYZ. So explanation goes a long way with digital natives.
Yep. Yeah. And setting the example, again, I know it feels like I've said that a lot tonight, but that can go a long way. They see you on your devices. They see you on social media, and how are we setting the example there? I would also say that if we're going to be a family that's on the journey together, at some point, husbands, it should be okay to ask your wife for her phone, and wives, it should be okay to ask your husband for his phone, it's okay that there's accountability across the board, not just we want to keep our kids accountable.
Right.
And so let them experience that because this is about discipleship. This is about following Jesus. It's not just about the things.
Yeah.
And maybe that looks like having some screen-free zones in your worlds, whether that's in the car as you head to practice. Hey, that's one of our screen-free zones, that every day between class and practice, it's screen-free. I want to know all about your day. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's at the dinner table. You guys know what the dinner table is. Sometimes we don't do that very well. Maybe that's at the dinner table or wherever the dinner table ends up being for you, with however many members of the family have dinner together that night or not. Maybe it's a certain time of day. Maybe it's when you go on a trip to grandma's. There's no phones at grandma's house. I read an article about a three-day trip that a family took, and they all took throwaway cameras instead of their phones. And it was a way to say, hey, this is what we're going to do because we think we're attached to this thing way too much, but hey, let's still have fun and take pictures. Yeah. And so there's all kinds of ways to say, hey, this is going to be a phone-free zone for a while or for a day or for a weekend. But again, we got to lead the way in that.
Well, and you're hitting that topic of people skills, right, which falls under the whole brains question, is that, you know, I want to be able to go out to dinner and we sit as a family and talk and have conversations and not everybody on a screen, right? I want to have scenarios. And this is something that our kids have heard from us. It is a thing that we've harped on, is that when, especially when you're talking to an adult, put the phone away. You have a conversation with the person in front of you and you look them in the eyes. And whenever you're talking to somebody else, don't be on your phone. Put it up. You know, there's not just screen-free zones, there's screen-free scenarios. And so those are kind of conversations that we have had too. And even with accountability, something that over the years, that even something that, like if Matt was playing like Hearts or something, I have appreciated this about him, that he's like, oh my gosh, this ad that just popped up, holy cow. And then the kids hear that and they're like, oh, well, Dad's taking note too. You know, I have no idea how far those things go, but they're at least even hearing him say, oh, hey, there's something popping up. I need you guys to know. And that is something that Matt and I have always said is, hey, you can have the password of my phone and my email, and you are welcome to scroll through it at any point. I don't have anything to hide. So you can have it. And that is an above board way to kind of walk through that. So that's the other thing, is the people skills. And I, even with our kids, the other thing that we talk a lot about, I think I heard this or read this years ago, but talking about keyboard courage. So many people will say things from behind a screen they'd never say to your face. And so one of the things that we have talked to our kids about is like, if you're not going to say it to somebody's face, don't say it behind the keyboard. And don't forget that screenshot, that can be sent around too, whatever it is that you're saying. And so really think about, you're not just a Christian in this arena, at sports or at school or at church. You are a Christian in the tech world. You're a Christian everywhere you go. You are a reflection of Christ, and you need to be thinking about what it is that you're writing or what you're showing.
Yeah, we're coming short on time.
Yep.
So we're gonna go ahead and jump to a time of Q&A, and we'll come back to a couple other things after that. But I wanna give you an opportunity to ask some questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't about connecting with others, it was about me and the game. And so one thought I had as I was hearing this, I was thinking about addiction. I thought, well, is it really addiction to a device? Or is it about an addiction to a social interaction that they can have really quickly? Why do people go to a house party? There's all these people around, you know, maybe who knows what's going on, and they're on their phone. Like, what is the point of that? If they're excited about the social interaction they're getting through the phone, why isn't interacting with other people in person doing that for them? So what I don't understand, or what I would like to hear a little bit more, is what needs are being met through technology for little ones that we met in some other way.
Sure.
So one of the things that I would say to that, I found this really interesting. So my husband's best friend on the coast, he is a psychologist, and he said one of the things that he's seeing is that, and I know this isn't necessarily kids, this is a little more students, because I'm seeing that students, they're not even getting their license till much later. They don't have anywhere to necessarily go. It's all happening here. They're interacting with their friends, they're talking with their friends, they're seeing their friends, and they're gaming with their friends. Why do they have a need to go anywhere? So there's definitely a social need that's being met. I'm not saying it's great. I'm not saying it's good, bad, or indifferent. But also to your point too, you were saying what are they gaining from that for our kids as digital natives from the things that we're reading? Now listen, all of this stuff is so new. There is still so much research to be put out there. But for them, that's like their playground. That's like where they're seeing their friends, they're meeting their friends. But to your point of what we've even experienced is that sometimes when our kids have gone and everybody else is on their devices, and that's kind of been more teen years than kids years for us, but some of that could really be addiction and just not having had conversations of even going, hey, this is really weird. We're all sitting in the same place and we're all talking on text or social media or whatever. But for kids who certainly can't drive and can't get anywhere, there is that social interaction for them. I'm not saying right, wrong, and different. That's really you to know your kid to see that. I'm not sure if that fully answers your question. And there may be other people in the room. I know that there's a lot of other people in the room too.
I'll add to that. One of the biggest things that we're seeing right now with that I've seen personally in ministry is college freshmen moving back home. They will leave the house and they will head to their first year in a college in a different town somewhere else, and it is terrifying because they've never been on an adventure ever, and the only adventures they've been on have been virtual ones. For a lot of teens, they get to go conquer the world. They get to be the champion, and they can do that from the basement. We have to give opportunities for them to be the champion in our home, for them to be the champion in their school, for them to be the champion in whatever it is. And lots of them are only being the champion of something virtually. And so what needs are getting met, that's a big one that I see, is that they get to win at this thing. And we're not challenging them to win other places. That's a great way to build someone up is say, hey, here's a problem. Let's figure out how to do this together. Instead of all the problems are happening virtually and they're able to champion that virtually. Another need that I see being met, again, that goes back to adventure. They're not having adventures in real life. The adventures that they're going on and the adventures that they're journeying on are virtually. And why wouldn't they want to do that? They can't fall and scrape a knee. It's not gonna, for me, it was Boy Scouts. So that's where all my adventures happened at Boy Scouts. Our tent at the quarterly thing, it like the tornado came through, right? And we were all in the bathroom together so that no one died. And then all of our tents were gone when we came outside. And we had this huge adventure. And we got to come back and we got to tell everybody about our adventure. And we are seeing students in droves not go on adventures during their middle school and high school years. And so when it comes to go off to college, they're terrified and they're coming home. And so I think some of those needs are being met, especially through gaming. Again, those aren't all bad things. There's great connectivity that can happen. There's great adventures to go on. But are we offering adventures in the real world? Are we offering exciting journeys and things for them to champion in the real world as well? That was a really good question.
Well, and another part of the answer to that question too is it's like typically to a digital immigrant, we're going, what can this device do for me? Right? We're trying to think through, what can it do? How can it make me more efficient? What can it do? Kids are saying, what can this device do? And not like, ooh, what can they do so I can ruin my life? It's like they're in creative mode. They're like, what can it do? What can it build? It's this whole different adventure for them. So that's the other positive for them as they're learning to be creative and interactive. It just doesn't need to be the only place. Even like one of the examples that I read too was a mom who said she noticed that her son and his friend had been spending a ton of time like on screens. And so when she started kind of investigating, she learned that they were looking up World War II, some stuff from World War II, like tanks and stuff. And they were trading information and they were looking at all these things. And so she thought, I want to make an adventure out of this. Let's go somewhere where we can see this in real life, and let's also bring it to life so that they can see the virtual world is not bad, but there's also this very real thing here. It's teaching that responsibility and going, hey, this isn't the only thing that's available. Anybody else? Other questions? What are, or even if you would be willing, I don't know if the room would be willing enough to share, what are some of the bumps and bruises that you've experienced?
I've got one follow-up.
Sure. Sure.
So the people, a lot of this is, for the people who are sleeping with the phone, mm-hmm. like they go to bed, they have it, they're wearing it. So
yeah.
What is going on there?
It's the answer.
Huh?
It's the answer. Anything they need, it's the answer. How many mountain ranges are in Ecuador? And when you were 15, what would you have had to do to figure that out?
Encyclopedia, baby!
Woo! So that's a very small sample, but for most things, it's the answer. And when I don't know the answer, I feel like I look bad. When I don't know the answer, I feel like nobody's going to respect me. When I don't know the answer, I feel like I'm not going to be heard. And so for a lot that find themselves in that place, we've got to remind them they're heard. They don't have to know the answer. Jesus ultimately is the answer. And so when I meet with students and have those conversations, it makes them feel safe because they can get what they can get the answer there. For some of them, it's they get praise there, and they don't get praise in the real world.
Yep.
And so needs are being met that way.
I think it's also a fear of missing out.
Yes.
Because there's something going on.
All the time. Yep. There's something going on all the time.
Well, and there's also, we can't even get into this. We're not experts here. I know that there's some of you in the room who are counselors and stuff. Like, we're parents, we're ministers, we're just doing some research. But there are things that are coming out, too, that it is changing the way that things are happening in the brain on some level, mm-hmm. which is why we don't want to completely get rid of it, but we want to keep that balance for a healthy brain. Because, listen, these are the kinds of conversations that I've even had with my son, that I've just said, hey, let's talk about pornography, okay? And not just, let's just talk about pornography. Let's talk about what physiologically happens. Because here's the deal. I could talk to him and say, this is what Scripture says, and this is what the Bible says, and he's like, okay. I said, hey, you know what? I've actually read some things recently that talks about, like, when you're looking at pornography, there are dopamine dumps that are happening in your brain. Dopamine dumps are what begin to cause addiction. And so then I've talked to him about physiologically, this is what happens. And he's like, oh, well, that makes sense. And I'm not saying that Jesus and the Bible doesn't answer, but this generation needs to know more than just Jesus is the answer. Yes, he's the answer, but this is a process of making disciples. They also really need to understand what's the science, what's physiologically happening here, and even some of the blue light and the way that those things are kind of messing with the brain. There's just so much we don't know.
You're involved, for the most part, in every area of your kid's life. If your kid likes sports, you're at the practices, you're at the games, you're figuring out how to be at the practices and the games. What are we doing to figure out how to be active in this world in their life?
Yeah.
God made you your child's parent.
Yep.
He did it on purpose. Therefore, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you as a follower of Jesus, and he has given you what it takes to help guide them on this journey. The helper is with you and will help you counsel in these moments.
Yeah, I mean, those are so many really good things that we talk about, is that, we have the helper, the Holy Spirit, who gives us the answers. He is our wonderful counselor. Scripture tells us that we are to be renewing our mind, right? We are transformed by renewing our mind. That's how some of these other conversations had. I mean, there's even conversations I've had with my kids that, hey, we were talking one time, one of them was like, hey, I'm trying to like double how much music I listen to this year, because Spotify keeps all the stats. And so he's like, last year I listened to this much, and next year I want to listen to this much. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Hey, what are the things you're watching? And we talk about the things he was watching. Oh, that's really cool. I said, okay, what are the things that you're reading? Hey, what kind of, are you listening to Christian music at all? And hey, are you reading books? I did it a little more graciously than this, okay? But, what are you reading, and how much time are you in your Bible, or what kind of Christian books? And as we thought about it, so I was like, huh, that sounds like it's almost like a three-quarters that you're hearing from the world and about a fourth that you're hearing from that biblical worldview. And that is one of the last things that we wanted to talk about. We're going to get to some questions too, but it's indoctrination. That's my other concern. I want my kids to operate from a biblical worldview. And here's the reality. If all of the things that they're watching, they're listening to, and they're reading, if all of that is from the world and like, I'm going to church on Wednesdays and Sundays, I ain't gonna cut it. You know? And so we've really got to be thinking about what are ways, what are some apps that we can find? Hey, I mean, you can interact on the Bible app as a family. You know, what are some things that we can even read together or articles? It doesn't have to be big things, but just kind of thinking about that is so important because we are disciple makers. So we have to help our kids think about what they're thinking about, right? And who's pouring in the most? Because I was like, hey, so where are you going to get all of your opinions and your thoughts and your perspective from? Huh? You know, cause them think. Okay, you had a question?
Actually, that's kind of related to what you just said. I just am finding that, right, we want them to be influenced by the Word of God and by, you know, bringing them to church, different things, but I'm finding it's hard for my kids to have this quiet time because there's
yes.
this, and, you know, there's the Bible app, which is great, but I just want them to be able to put it away, and, you know, we've got the Bevo stuff, they're doing that, but it's, I feel like that's really hard for them to just let it all go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible app and then a ping. And
yep.
I put that away and then, you know, it's hard to spend the time with the Lord. And so how do we navigate that?
You know, I have a friend who I never even thought about this, you know, and of course there's like, you're in ministry and you never thought of it. But like, I have a friend who weekly, she sends her kids a Bible verse and she says, hey, this is what I'm praying for you this week. And this is how blah, 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 blah. Or she's like, you know what? I'm really proud of you. Or this is what I see playing out in your life. And that is a great way to engage in technology because it is the way that they're talking. And even like one of our coworkers, she and I were laughing this morning because she and I, we were taking a snap to send to her daughter. And she was like, you know, how crazy is this that like I'll text my daughter and she don't respond. I'll send her a snap, seconds, you know. But she's like, but I've just learned, I feel so old and ridiculous, but she loves it, you know. And so she's like, so I'm just going to keep engaging with her and thinking, you know. And yeah, yeah. And a big part of it is even the conversations. This is what I've found even with our kids too, is it's that, and so some of you know that even as we've walked through our medical journey with our daughter, like I've had very real conversations that, hey, these are some of the fears that I've had. These are some of the concerns I've had. This is how the Holy Spirit has met me. You know, this is kind of what I've done. And I have found that that has been more valuable to her in conversation than anything that I'm talking about, the things that I'm struggling with or that I'm wrestling with or how I'm growing in my walk with the Lord. And even if that is like whether you're leaving them a note or something else that's not technology that my daughter and I did for a long time was we, not a long time, maybe a year back and forth a few times, that I would write in a notebook and I would leave it in her room. She would read it and then she would write to me and she would leave it in my room. And it was like things that were hard to say face to face, she could put on paper. And so that's also another way to do it. You can do it on text, but there's also a way to do it with paper too.
And these commands I give you today for them to be upon your hearts, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Those are everyday moments. Those are not big messages. Those are not big sermons. Those are when you get up, when you walk around, when you go to bed. Those are everyday achievable moments for us as normal parents in this world. Do something. It doesn't have to be huge. Connect with your kid as many times as you can. Use the technology. Go through a Bible study on YouVersion together as a family. Use the Verses app. There's all kinds of stuff out there that would allow you to build a disciple and use technology all at the same time. But again, it doesn't have to be this huge thing. I think a lot of times we feel like it needs to be.
Yeah.
Like a tech retreat with your teen. That was great. Everyday moments of you leading the way, of you saying, hey, I value you. You need to know that Jesus values you. And let's walk with him on the journey that we're all on right now.
Well, and even like, don't forget that like you are your child's prayer shield. You know, you are their prayer warrior. That's one of the things, again, that we'll send out in the email tomorrow, is specific verses where you can just plug your kid's name in there. The most powerful thing you can do for your kid is to pray for them. I would venture to say the second most powerful thing to do is to live out what you believe. Live out the gospel. They learn, they catch more from you, they learn more from you by the conversations you have at home about people. They learn more from you by watching you serve or not serve. They see this generation is also, as much as it's about tech, it's also about authenticity. And that is something I've heard just from my own kids as we've been, you know, in rooms with kids and students, that they want to know what's real and why, and that's what they will buy into. And I feel like for me that I just need to say in this room that one of the greatest struggles I feel like I have had as a parent is that I was raised in church, and we have raised our kids in church. And one of the things that I have felt the most beat up about is that I have often felt like I sat in parenting seminars or parenting classes or things, and people who have just been like, this is the way to do it, and that's the way to do it. And I have always felt like I'm failing because I don't do it that way. And it doesn't work for me. And a lot of what, for me, what I have heard is all this structure. Everything is planned out, and it looks like this, and we do these devotions, and we do this, and we do that. And so I was just like, I'm failing. We're failing. We stink. I hope it works out. But what I have found for us, and some people work best in structure. Great. But for us, the best thing that I found is conversations on the go. Conversations at night. Conversations at the dinner table, conversations when we're watching TV, or hey, what is it that you like about this? What is it about these characters, you know, or whatever? And sometimes it is just the awkward conversations where I'll be awkward sometimes. Even when I had both boys in the car one time, I said, hey, I heard about this app. I'll just ask. Hey, I heard about this app, and I heard that, like, it's like where people share genital shots. What is this? You know, and I'm asking about it. And my oldest one's like, you know, I heard something about that. And my youngest one's going, what are genital shots? But he's going to hear it. You know what I'm saying? And here's the deal. If you don't have the conversation with them, someone will. And I found this so powerful. There was this one study that I read that talked about, it was asking like adult kids, if you will, going into adulthood or your early adults, that they were saying, did your parents ever talk to you about pornography? Yes or no? And the ones who answered yes also answered the following question that however it was worded, that basically they were less likely to be enticed by it or super excited about it. Notice they didn't say, what did your parents talk? How did they talk? What did they say? Did they? And it was really crazy to see, that's just one study, right? But it was just really crazy to see that the ones who said their parents had talked about it, that it was a much less of a lure for them. So, hey, no, listen, there's just not, we all want to walk into the, okay, there are people like me who want to walk into the room and say, give me the list, give me the rules, let's check it off. I want to know that I'm going to succeed. Guess what? We're all going to have bumps and bruises. We're all going to have stories. We just are. Technology is just, it's tough.
Yeah. And I don't know what you take out of this room tonight. We had pages of notes and we didn't cover everything. And maybe it's the personal. Maybe it's leaving here tonight and going, I got to get off my phone more. I got to do different things to set the example. Maybe it's implementing new things in your home, having new conversations with your students, with your kids. Maybe you're still on the young side of things and you have literal poop that you are taking care of. Or maybe your poop does look a whole lot different than what it used to. We want you to know that you're not alone.
Yep.
Satan wants you to feel like you're alone, and that's a lie. And so know that there's lots of help out there besides us that's out there. We're going to be sending you all kinds of stuff in the next couple of days. There'll also be on that email an area to ask more questions. Again, this is about a four-week thing that we've crammed into an hour and a half. And so if you have more questions, we want to be able to dialogue with you about it and answer those questions. Yeah, we'll include all of our personal notes in what we're sending you.
Well, but just know it's going to change in 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to start somewhere.
Yeah, right. No, I get it. I know. I wasn't being a brat. I'm just saying that part of why we've stayed away from that is because it's so evolving, right? It's so, but something funny enough, in a tech class, one of the things that I read on social media, some of you may have seen this, and to kind of to your point as we're ending, is that it said, so many of us are just scared to death that we're raising kids in this generation, in this culture, right? And we're lamenting that they weren't being raised in a culture like we were. Well, here's the first thing is every generation has the thing that they have to deal with in parenting. Everybody's got something different. And even for us, it was just TVs, and our parents were afraid our brains were rotting from TVs, you know, or whatever it is. And it's not always tech. But here's the deal. God met Daniel in the lion's den, right? God was with David conquering Goliath. He was with Esther as she was confronting Haman. He's with Peter, right? And as much as he doubted, let's raise Daniel's. Let's raise David's. Let's raise Esther's. That's our job. Scripture tells us that he appoints our time and our place and our season to live. He picked your kids and he picked my kids and your kids to live in this generation, to be difference makers, to be warriors for him. And our job is to make disciples.
Yeah, and on our way out tonight, there's a resource table out there. We would encourage you to look over those books, take a picture of some of them, and go find them online. I would assume they're all on Amazon. This is stuff that we've read through, that we've looked to. They don't all have all the answers. But again, you're not alone. There's a lot of help out there. And we just want to reiterate the truth that we really do want to walk alongside you as you raise disciples in your home. And so please know that we're available. We're kids and youth ministers. And so there's a lot of other material out there and help that's out there as well. But we want you to know that we're here to walk alongside you as you raise disciples in your home. God, I thank you for the reality that we're not alone. You're with us. Many in the room know other parents, and now we know that we can fight alongside one another. I pray for the scars and the bruises in our own lives of when we've messed up with technology. Would you maybe give us some opportunities to talk to our kids about that reality? Because they're probably going to mess up with it too sometime. Would you show us how to be givers of grace and givers of love? Because you've shown us grace and you've loved us way more than we deserve. And God, would we not be held by fear in this area?
Yes.
Would you show us that there's hope to raise kids in this tech-filled world with hope? And God, we're challenged tonight as the disciple makers in our homes to set the example. And so God, I pray for the dialogues that are gonna happen on the car rides home and later tonight and tomorrow about all that's been discussed. I thank you for all the help that's out there. And in those moments where we feel like we're fighting this battle on our own, would you remind us, God, that you're with us, and that we have so many others here as the body of Christ that we can lean on when we need to. We love you, Father. I just pray over these households that are represented. I pray that they would be homes of peace, God, and that you would not give Satan a foothold here. We love you.